taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
A pox on both their houses. Welcome, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. We read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free. And as I said, a pox on both their houses. I have no sympathy, no love, no desire for political parties. I disdain political parties. Now, what's brought this on? Well, Senator Josh Hawley has a new book coming out. So he's been doing the media circuit, and I don't begrudge him. When I was bringing my book out, I would have loved to have half, a third, a tenth of the attention he's had for his book. But in listening and reading what this man who is continually referred to as a constitutionalist, I am just as disgusted with the Republican Party as I am with the Democrats, the Libertarians, the Green, and all the other private corporations that think it is their God-given duty to tell you how to live your life. But Paul, the Republicans are for freedom. No, they're not. The Republicans are for whatever gives them power. Now, in 1796, when George Washington gave his farewell address, he said, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism." That describes politics in America today. Today, it doesn't matter whether something is right or wrong. It's just whether or not it was your party or the other party. You know, I grew up with a phrase called NIMBY, not in my backyard. You can have anything you want, just not in my backyard. Well, nowadays it seems they'll vote for anything as long as it's not from their, they'll vote against anything that was not from their political party. So here I am listening to Representative Hawley, and all I can think of is Washington's opinion of party, that it'll be the destruction of the republic, that it is the ruin of liberty. Because Mr. Hawley's primary focus is the breaking up of big tech companies. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there going, yeah, break them up, break them up. Funny, I don't hear people talking about breaking up other large companies that don't disagree with what their philosophy is or don't promote the opposition party. This is not liberty, folks. What Josh Hawley is talking about is depriving the owners of these companies their property without due process of law. If these companies have committed a crime, let them be charged, let them be dealt with in the courts. But if they have not done so, if they've not done something illegal, then it is illegal to break them up. But he goes, oh, they're so big. They're so big. Amazon is so big. They're the largest e-commerce. And you know what else Amazon does? Amazon, for a very small fee, will sell your stuff for you. How many thousands, how many millions of individuals and small businesses now have an online e-commerce presence, have access to more eyeballs, more customers, because Amazon has opened themselves up to do this. They allow others to use their platform. Oh, well, Amazon is also the biggest cloud provider. Again, so what? Do you know what Amazon does? In many cases, for a very reasonable price, depending on which services you're using, they allow companies to have an online presence, to not have to spend the thousands of dollars necessary to set up your own web service. Remember, I spent 30 years working in IT. I spent 25 years working in data centers. I know what it costs to set up a decent, stable web server and give it access to the internet. It's thousands of dollars. Amazon lets you do it for a few dollars, maybe $100, depending if you got a really, really busy site. How many of you in the last 24, 48 hours have watched Netflix? You realize you wouldn't have Netflix without Amazon? The Netflix streaming service, I don't know if it still is. I know it used to run on Amazon, and they never would have been able to get that up and running, not to the size that it is, without an Amazon Web Services. Oh, well, Google's the biggest search and the biggest ad agency. Yeah, you know what? Which means I can go to one place and I can get ads in front of more people for less money. Now, am I thrilled with Amazon? Am I thrilled, you know, and them banning books they don't like? No, I don't like that. Am I thrilled with Google? I won't own an Android phone. I refuse. I don't use Google search. I won't use Google Maps. Makes life a little difficult sometimes, but I won't. What about Facebook, Paul? Facebook, they're huge and they're deplatforming. Yeah, and I got kicked off of Facebook. But you see, the problem is Josh Hawley's looking saying they are big and they don't like my team, so we have to go after them. Just the same way the Democrats don't like Fox News. The same way they didn't like Parler. This is nothing but political pandering. So, Mr. Hawley, on the off chance that someone you know may hear this, I have a message for you. Before you start exercising, first of all, show me article, chapter, clause. Where in the Constitution does Congress get the authority to break up a company because they don't like it? I'll wait. If you find one, I will jump on this radio station and I will listen to it and I will correct myself, but it ain't there. It is not interstate commerce. You're not regulating. You're not making regular commerce. You're saying you are too big. We don't like that. We don't like what you're doing. So we want to bust you up. That is a spirit of revenge natural to party dissension. That is not liberty. So, Mr. Hawley, I want to remind you of something else. See, Congress has already broken the law. One of the reasons that these companies have been allowed to deplatform, to violate their terms of service, to violate their advertising contracts, is because Congress violated the Constitution by denying the American people the right to petition their government for a redress of grievances. Remember that old First Amendment thing? Congress shall make no law, among other things, abridging the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievance. Everyone complains about Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Title 47 of the U.S. Code, Section 230, Part C2 says, no provider or user of interactive computer service shall be held liable on account of any action voluntarily taken in good faith to restrict the access or availability of material that a provider or user considers to be obscene, lewd, lascivious, filthy, excessively violent, harassing, or otherwise objectionable, whether or not such material is constitutionally protected. So Congress said, listen, if you think it might be otherwise objectionable, if you have a good faith effort of believing that this is harassing or obscene or otherwise objectionable, you are protected from citizens petitioning their government for a redress of grievance. So, Mr. Hawley, before you get all high and mighty about the size of these companies, as you work for the largest effective corporation in the country, the United States government, before you go about breaking up things and exercising powers not delegated to the United States by the people of this union via the Constitution, how about you apply the Constitution? How about you obey the Constitution? How about you modify Section 230? Section C2. How about you say, listen, you can't be sued if you take down something that is illegal. protected speech can now be taken down because there is no risk to Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, Google, because the federal government is protecting them. If you want to fix this problem, start there. Now, as I said, Facebook has blocked me. Would I file suit against Facebook? Individually, probably not. I might join a class action if the actual argument was a good one. I've seen a lot that are really bad. But this Section 230 is illegal. And according to the Supreme Court in Alexander Hamilton, it is void because it deprives the people of the right to petition their government via the courts for a redress of a grievance against a company simply because it is an interactive computer service. So, Mr. Holly, your outrage over the size of these companies betrays your lack of understanding of the Constitution. I know you're a constitutional lawyer, but that probably means you didn't study the Constitution in law school because they don't teach the Constitution in law school. They teach judges' opinions about the Constitution. And it proves to me, sir, you don't understand the First Amendment. And it also proves you don't understand this Fifth Amendment, the deprivation of property without due process of law. So before you go trying to fix a mess that Congress has made, how about you get rid of the mess they made in the first place? They made this mess, rewrite Section 230, make it legal, make it constitutional, let the people seek redress of grievance against these companies, and then see what happens. Because these companies have every right, as long as they are not violating their licenses or their contracts, to determine what is and is not allowed on their platforms. I know we don't like it, but you know what? There is nobody with a gun to your head making you use these platforms. They are all voluntary. And if the American people cannot decide for themselves whether or not they want to share information with these companies, then this experiment in self-government is lost. It's gone. It's failed. You're telling me that the American people are too stupid to look at these companies, decide if what they're doing is right and proper, and decide for themselves whether or not to use them. Mr. Holly, you're just using government to bully people you disagree with. And I find that reprehensible. Which to me is sad because a lot of what you have talked about and a lot of what I've heard you talk about, I really could support. But when it comes to this, a pox on you, a pox on the Republicans, because we've seen this before. Again, back to Washington, it is in his farewell address. Again, talking about the friction, the dissension, the revenge of parties. He says, it serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates a community of ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one part against another, foments occasionally riot and insurrection. That's what we're seeing. Somehow I doubt Mr. Holly would be all bent out of shape if Facebook and Amazon and Twitter were censoring Marxist point of views, or the point of views held by the Democratic Party. Somehow I don't think he'd be all hot and bothered about it. Because parties are slavish devotion, are idol worship of parties is tearing this country apart. It's not the only thing. But as Washington said, it enfeebles a public administration. Why? Because it wasn't done by my party. I can't support it because the other guys did it. It establishes, it helps agitate those ill-founded jealousies, the false alarms, the animosity. And you know what else it does? As Washington said, it opens a door to foreign influence and corruption, which finds a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of party passion. We don't need to be invaded by the outside. We are opening ourselves to both domestic and foreign control, not by the people, but by private organizations. The Democrats, the Republicans, a pox on both their houses. I have no cotton for any of them. And while we're at it, let's just wipe the term rhino out of our vocabulary. Because there are very few people who are called rhinos that are actually rhinos. Rhino meaning Republican in name only. Again, a Republican is not some constitutional stalwart. A Republican is a member of a private organization whose primary purpose is to survive and to increase the power of the party. So when you look at somebody in the Republican Party you disagree with and you call them a rhino, they're most likely, almost every time someone says that, what am I looking at? I'm looking at a Republican doing what Republicans do, and that is what they think best, to promote the Republican Party. A Republican doesn't make you a stalwart constitutionalist. It doesn't make you a conservative. It doesn't make you any label you put on it. And it certainly does not make you American. Now, you're expected to be an American, I suppose, if you're running in the party. You know, there are certain requirements about residency. But you're not a founding father. You're not the bastion of Americanism and patriotism because you're part of a party. We tried that. Well, actually, we didn't try that. The Soviet Union tried that. The Communist Chinese tried that. If you want to show your patriotism, you become part of a party. That's not American. At least not the American our founding fathers created, what they fought and died for. A pox on both of their houses. And I find this news article. Apparently, there's a ban within the Republican conference, I don't know, against earmarks. Doesn't matter. Senate Republicans are requesting earmarks. They want pork. They want money to come back to their district. Now, I can kind of understand that, right? If you want to bribe your citizens to vote for you, if you want to bribe the citizens of your district to vote for you, money helps. And if you can get someone else to pay for it, say, oh, the rest of the American people, it's a good deal, isn't it? Yet what do we see? The Republicans, who supposedly are fiscal conservatives, yet haven't stopped the outrageous spending. Yes, they had tax cuts, great, but they increased the spending at the same time. The same Republicans that spent years saying, we will repeal Obamacare until they actually had power. And they did no such thing. A pox on you. There is the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. There are a lot of differences. But at the bottom line, the difference is what they're going to use big government for. One wants to establish a Marxist utopia. The other wants a different Marxist utopia. They want the federal government to do whatever it wants. They want the power to tell you how to live your life. They want the power to direct the schools. They want the power to direct healthcare. Not get rid of illegal nationalized healthcare. They just want the power to direct it. And until we stop voting based on what type of party they're a part of, what animal is in their party logo, we will continue to see the destruction of the republic that Washington warned us about. Don't believe me? Well, guess what? a bipartisan group of lawmakers came to a deal. A bipartisan group of lawmakers decided, you know what? We're going to investigate the entrance of the Capitol by a, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but by a small number of people, with a 9/11 style commission. We're going to treat people walking into the Capitol, apparently without being stopped by security, without even being challenged by security. We're going to treat that like planes flying into buildings. We're going to treat demonstrators that went where they weren't supposed to. And some did some damage. Absolutely. But we're not going to simply charge those. Although the ones they found, they've arrested, they've charged. They were not letting them out on bond. No, we're going to treat that like the terrorists that attacked us on 9/11. That's disgusting, folks. And members of both parties are working on this. Both of them agreed to treating a protest that got out of hand. I couldn't really call it a riot because it wasn't, you know, there was some damage. There was a couple people that there was some damage. There was apparently possibly some theft. I don't think it raises to riot because, well, Washington didn't, D.C. didn't burn. They didn't burn down the Capitol. They walked in because apparently security was told to let them through. They acted like idiots. And at the same time, these people are being vilified and referred to as insurrectionists. Actual insurrection is happening in Portland, in Seattle. And nobody cares. Tell me, Republicans that agree to this, where's your backbone to stand up and say, wait a second, if we're going to look at the attack on the Capitol, let's look at what happened last summer. Let's look at whole sections of a city being annexed. That's an insurrection. Displacing the local government for your own. That is insurrection. No, we're not going to talk about that. But it's the Democrats who are doing it. Yep, and the Republicans are going along. A pox on both of their houses. I am so sick and tired of people thinking a political party is going to save us when the political parties are both. They're spending us into oblivion. They're stealing our rights. They just steal different rights for different reasons. The Republicans and the Democrats, the political parties, are not the solution to the problem. They are a large part of the problem. And until we start hiring people based on their actual character, on their fidelity to the Constitution and to their oath to support it, rather than which party they've joined, America is doomed. America, liberty in America is doomed because we're going to spend the rest of our lives and our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives sitting between these two parties with hissy fits at each other. They are more interested in harming their opponent than they are in running the country. They are more interested in attacking their opponent than they are in representing the people they were hired to represent. Now, I'm sure there are exceptions. But by far, the evidence is they are the minority, and a very small one at that. But as James Garfield said, if Congress be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. And it's about time we stop. As we head out to break, I want to remind you that all of my shows go to podcast usually a day or two after the actual broadcast. So if you've missed something, you want to go back and hear this again, you can find me on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, many, many more. Pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. Please do me a favor, subscribe and rate this show on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find it. It helps share this information with others. And it really does help benefit the show. So please hang on through this break, listen to the sponsors, and join me once again after this break.
Well, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutloud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. Yeah, I'm having a bit of a harangue about political parties today. Spent the first half pretty much beating up on the Republicans because I find so many people that are invested in the Republican Party as the salvation of the Union when they're causing just as much problems. They are just as willing to use the lever of power against the American people as the Democrats. Now, there's plenty of evidence of the Democrats, like the article I found here of the Democratic National Committee that is urging Facebook to permanently ban Trump. You know, the Daily Caller put this particular article out, and I'm like, again, the Democratic National Committee, they are a private organization. They're not part of the government. If they think Facebook should ban their opponent, well, they can ask. They can urge. Tells me two things. One, it tells me that the Democrats are just as interested in shutting up the opposition as apparently the Republicans are. They just have different tactics of doing it. And it shows me that Facebook, if they follow through with this, which apparently they have, is just as much more not to be trusted because they are not an honest broker of information. They are propaganda. Now, I know, hey, you want to go up and share stuff on Facebook? Share pictures of the grandkids, whatever. Yeah. But understand that you are being, one, you're being tracked. Two, you're being manipulated. Does that mean that the Republicans should break up Facebook because the Democrats want to use them to ban their members? Well, no, that's not a legitimate use of government power. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives them that authority. It is the alternate domination of one faction over another. And we are living in the despotism of that time. The party dissension has been so sharpened that The first thing the Democratic president did was undo a bunch of the executive orders from the Republican predecessor. Was that because he went through and honestly looked at them and decided whether or not they were constitutional or the best practice? For the most of them, probably not. Republican bad must change. The same way Trump went in and did a bunch of executive orders undoing the work of Obama. That's not governing. That's two parties having a slap fight. And the American people are watching it happen and letting it happen and paying for it to happen and hiring the buffoons that are doing this. And it's not just Washington, D.C. I have another article here. This one from the Epoch Times. Texas Senate passes bill that would block social media companies from banning users for their political views. Excuse me, Texas, where do you get the authority in your Constitution to tell a private company what users they must be allowed to have on their platform? Tell me, if their political views included, totalitarian Marxism, if their political views were we should be like North Korea, would you be really upset if they were blocking their views? If a person's political views were, say, the Republicans are so bad, we should go out and shoot them. Remember that, folks? The baseball practice guy went out to shoot Republicans. Do you really think his views, that user maybe should not, the Facebook may not want him on their platform? Texas is going after Facebook because they're blocking Republicans. Rather than looking, saying, you know what, if you have, you know what Texas should do? Texas should say, listen, the Constitution says that Congress doesn't have the authority. It's illegal for Congress to prevent you from suing these companies. So go ahead. All the Texas citizens that have a grievance against Facebook, go for it. Sue them. Sue them in state court. Because that part of Section 230 is illegal. It is void. Why don't you do that? Nope. We have to shut down people that are politically opposite of us. Why pick on social media companies? They don't pick on the media, right? They don't pick on the corporate media, the traditional media. But why pick on social media companies? What about other companies? What if a Roman Catholic diocese decided to ban a user because they were pro-abortion? What if there was a Roman Catholic church or a Roman Catholic diocese and they had a website for all of their members that they can find information, but they found out that, you know what? Nancy Pelosi claims to be a Catholic. Joe Biden claims to be a Catholic. Both are rabidly pro-abortion, which is contrary to the political viewpoint of the Roman Catholic Church. So we're going to block them. We're going to ban them from our platform. Does Texas think that should be allowed? Or is it only because right now social media is attacking their political party? Arizona, where did this come from? Arizona signed a law, again, I found this in the Epoch Times. The governor signed a law that designated gun stores as essential firms. And there was much rejoicing. Ah, yes, see, they're essential. Excuse me, Governor. Governor Ducey, can you explain to me where in the Arizona Constitution you have the authority to designate somebody as essential? It is just as evil to pick certain people as essential as it is to pick others that are unessential. This is not a good move. It's government picking winners and losers. It's governors, it's the government of Arizona deciding who will and will not get protections for their rights based on whether or not they deem it essential. Yes, Governor Ducey is a Republican. So yeah, the Republicans are just as much infringing on people's rights as the Democrats. New York, California, you are non-essential. You can't work. Oh, but Arizona, hey, we like guns. So gun stores, yeah, you're essential. They have no legal authority for that. Tell me, sir, where in the Constitution of Arizona does it give you the authority to determine which businesses are essential? Because you say gun businesses are essential. What about the mom and pop shop? What about the repair shop? What about the convenience store? What about the hardware store? What about the feed store? What about the pawn shop? What about any business is essential to somebody because there are people making a living there? This is not constitutional. This is the Republicans pushing back against the Democrats and trapping the American people in the middle. Oh, we're going to give gun stores special protection. How about you just do your job, stop picking winners and losers, stop picking people to be essential and non-essential, and protect the rights of everyone like you swore to. And then Michigan, oh, this was a great one. A Republican member of the State House in Michigan, again, a Republican member, a pox on both their houses. Why? Because he has what he calls the Fact Checker Registration Act. Oh, now you're going to get the government state of approval to be called a fact checker. Really? There's no like freedom of speech issue. Granted, this is not a First Amendment issue because Michigan is not Congress. But I'm pretty sure the Michigan Constitution says they will pass no law infringing the freedom of speech or the press. But now he wants to register people as fact checkers. Why? My guess is because there have been quote-unquote fact checkers that disagreed with him. According to the Fact Checker Registration Act, it defines a fact checker as someone who publishes in print or online in Michigan, is paid by a fact-checking organization, and is a member of an international fact-check network. Oh, really? Remember that whole freedom of speech and freedom of the press? You know what? If I'm checking facts and I'm a fact checker, if I take your bill, which was written by Representative Maddock, and by the way, was sponsored by 8 other members of the Republican House, and I look at your and I check your facts and find out, you know what, Mr. Maddock, that is unconstitutional. That is illegal. It's a violation of Michigan Constitution, therefore a violation of Michigan law, therefore a violation of your oath of office. There's a fact check for you, sir. And I don't need to be paid to do that. I don't even need to be in Michigan to do that. And I certainly don't need to be a member of some international fact check network. This is the same nonsense that says the press is whoever works for a bona fide news media organization. Baloney, sir. A pox on you and your house. How dare you? How dare you have the temerity to think that the government of Michigan has the authority, much less the capability, to determine who is and isn't able to check facts? This is tyranny. This is government picking who can and cannot speak, who can and cannot publish if they use the term fact checker. Who is approved and who is not approved? This is disgusting. and it came from a Republican, a pox on both of their houses. Do you want more? Let me ask you, how many Republicans have voted for this irrational, ungodly spending over the last year? How many Republicans voted for the stimulus checks, the unemployment benefits, the extended unemployment benefits, to bail out the states that have so mismanaged the COVID outbreak, that have ignored science, that have ignored the law, that have treated their people like serfs and subjects, that have spent themselves into oblivion? How many Republicans voted for that? So now when I find a story in the Epoch Times about how restaurant owners and managers in New York, California, Washington, Chicago cannot hire, find enough people to work for them because, well, they're getting paid to not work. The unemployment bonuses that Congress illegally funded. Congress is not legally authorized to collect taxes to fund unemployment. But we let them. How many Republicans voted for this mess? So now when restaurants are trying to find people to work and they can't because they make enough money sitting on their backside, it's just as much the Republicans' fault as it is the Democrats' fault. A pox on both of their houses. Do you know that in Florida, several McDonald's locations are actually paying 50 people 50 bucks just to show up for a job interview? Not to accept the job. Simply show up for a job interview and you get 50 bucks. Because of the actions of the Republicans and the Democrats, a pox on both of their houses. Then I found this little gem. Oh, I love this little gem. The U.S. Postal Service's Law Enforcement Division. Now, stop for just a second. Does the U.S. Postal Service need a law enforcement division? Now, the U.S. Postal Service is this quasi-semi-government agency. So, the Constitution says that Congress has the authority to establish post offices and post roads, but they end up spinning it off into this, again, quasi-non-governmental agency. But they have a law enforcement arm. Why do they need a law enforcement arm? Goes on. What has this law enforcement been doing lately? It has been running a covert operation tracking and collecting your social media data. According to Yahoo News, there is a Postal Service Internet Covert Operations Program. Their name for it, not ours. The post office has an Internet Covert Operation Program. Tell me, what does it have to do with delivering mail? Answer, absolutely nothing. So we've got the post office monitoring social media accounts for quote-unquote inflammatory posts. Oh, really? Also for protest plans and other things that I guess they don't like. And again, according to an internal document that was obtained by Yahoo News, the Postal Service investigated Parler and Telegram accounts. Interesting that there aren't reports of them investigating Facebook or Twitter. You do know that most of the organization for the January 6th meeting, rally, demonstration, was not done on Parler, as claimed. It was done on Facebook. Where's the Facebook? why is the Postal Service snooping on the American people? And since the U.S. Postal Service is a quasi-government agency, how many in Congress voted for this? How many in which parties voted for this? Because I'm pretty sure we find that Republicans are spending money at the Postal Service so they can spy on you. That's right. Americans, Democrats, and Republicans are paying the Postal Service to spy on American citizens. A pox on both of their houses. If we don't want the Postal Service, all we have to do is get Congress to stop spending them money until they stop it. This is not a political rant. Like I said, a pox on both their houses. But this is what happened when the American people turned their political parties into idols. We end up with these fights and debates over political parties. How often in 2020 did you hear, well, you have to vote for this guy because you can't let the other guy win? Choose the lesser of two evils. Do you know what you get when you choose the lesser of two evils? You get evil. Washington was correct. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns the disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. This is not a new situation. This did not suddenly occur with Biden's elevation to president. This is what happens with decades of people placing party above liberty, party above neighbor. You know, we talk about, you know, party over country, but it's not simply that. When you put your political whims, your political party, your political preferences above the rights and liberties of your neighbor, either because you think you know better than they do, or you think they're too stupid to know what's good for them, that destroys liberty. That crumbles the foundations of freedom and liberty in this country. It creates the despotism Washington warned about. Because now, more than ever, politicians will do anything to oppose their opponents, their political opponents. I mean, let's face it, they've always lied and stolen and cheated. That's nothing new. But I'm old enough to remember Tip O'Neill, an extremely powerful and influential Speaker of the House, who was a member of the Democratic Party, who was willing to work with Ronald Reagan, a powerful and influential president of the United States, who was a member of the Republican Party. Disagree on as many things as they did, they were able to work together on what they thought was best for the country. Now imagine, just imagine, just actually don't even have to remember, just remember. Can you remember Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi ever working with Donald Trump. I have a hard enough time trying to remember her ever working with George W. Bush. Of course, I also can't really remember Leader McConnell working with Obama. So I'm not really surprised. See, we've gotten to the point where party dissension has become so sharp. The spirit of revenge has become so sharp that that political leaders are more interested in harming their opponents than they are in doing what is best for the country. Look at, was it Biden's capital gains tax? All the reports say that the capital gains tax he wants will decrease revenue, but he doesn't care because he thinks it'll hurt the Republicans. This is a dangerous situation we live in. But it's as much as we can blame party members, party leaders, ultimately the responsibility is with the American people. I have mentioned James Garfield several times. But at the centennial of this country, he said, now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. Congress is our fault. The outrageous spending bills are our fault. The people, the corruption, the political vendettas are our fault because we let them happen. Garfield said, if that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. We tolerate this mess. And sadly, based on some conversations recently, we want this mess. I hear people all the time vilify their political opponents, wish the most evil things about them. How often has the death of some political leader been followed by vitriol of the most acidic form? How often have people wished their political opponents dead, sometimes horribly? That evil is tolerated by the American people. Garfield also said, if it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these high qualities to represent them in the national legislature. When was the last time you demanded your representative be intelligent, brave, and pure? And not simply be of the correct political party. When? Garfield concluded, if the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces. That's us, folks. We are not doing our job to control these political forces. We have been tricked. We have, or in some cases, maybe we voluntarily did it to ourselves, decided that political party is most important. Not the Constitution, not oaths of office, not effectiveness of outcomes. Party. We must vote for this person because if we don't, our party won't be in control. Oh, they are evil, they're reckless, they're corrupt, but we have to vote for them because our party must be in control because the other party is worse. That is what has led to so much of this dissension. Because as the rhetoric got hotter, as the rhetoric got worse, as the animosity grew, the American people sometimes ignored it, or sadly, frequently added fuel to the fire. This is our fault. Let's stop identifying ourselves by a political party. Let's stop identifying ourselves by some arbitrary agenda. Let's identify ourselves by our fidelity to the Constitution, to the supreme law of the land. Let's begin choosing the people who represent us by their fidelity to their oath to support that Constitution. And not just at the federal level, at the state, the county, and the city level as well. If we are going to learn from what Washington warned us about, we have to learn to put the Constitution and our neighbors' rights above our political preferences. We need to stop using government to enforce our will on others. If your idea is so good, you should be able to convince people to do it without having to use force. We shouldn't need political parties to enforce our will on others, for whatever reason. We do that because our arguments are weak or we are lazy. Let's grow up and be the people that our founding fathers wanted us to be. You can find out more about my show, get all the latest podcasts, just head to AmericaOutloud.com. Look under our shows or under the schedule. You'll find the Constitution Study. You can also find other hosts on the America Out Loud Network. And I hope you join me next time right here at the Constitution Study.
Love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day.